Good morning, church. I love the hustle and bustle and rumbling of God's people. It's great to hear you this morning. Glad that you're here. Are you ready to worship? I have my assistant with me. She's going to preach next week. So let's invite the Holy Spirit. Father, we love you. We are grateful for you, and you are so rich in mercies. Your mercies are new every morning for us. Would your name be high and lifted up today? Would we exalt you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? We ask you to send your Holy Spirit into this place. In Jesus' name, amen. You'll rise if you're able. Let's worship.
Call my name. I ran out. telling early service, what a wonderful song. I needed rescue. My sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. We are so grateful and thankful to be not only together in this room, but thankful of a God that not only wants to be with us, but redeems us and loves us. And it's a wonderful thing to be in God's house together singing. So let's keep doing that.
Afraid of me today? Kind of far back. How are y'all this morning? All right. Well, it's good to see y'all. Everybody have a good week?
Yes.
All right. Well, good. Ready for today, right? Okay. So I have a word for you today. And who can read my word? What does it say?
Wisdom.
All right, here's the next question. What does it mean? Anybody know what wisdom means? Yes?
Prayed.
Prayed? To pray? Okay. Yeah. What? Brave? Okay. Anybody else? You got it yet?
The truth.
The truth. Very good. Did you get that from your sister? Wisdom. Is wisdom something we need?
Yep.
Yes. Wisdom is knowing what is right and true. Right? So is wisdom important?
Yeah.
Do you think you have wisdom? Do you use that wisdom all the time? No? Okay. Well, that's okay. That's good. All right. Well, I mean, that's not good that you should use your wisdom, right? That's right. Well, I'm going to tell you about a king in the Bible. It's found in 1 Chronicles, and his name is King Solomon. Okay? And God was with him, and God made him great. He was a great king. And God told King Solomon to ask for anything he wanted. And do you know what King Solomon asked for? What? He asked for wisdom. He could ask for anything. So here's the next question. If you could ask for anything, what would you ask for?
To be like God.
To be like God, okay. To be rich, okay. To do right things?
To be like Pastor Jeff.
To be like Pastor Jeff? Okay, Jeff. All right. All right. Yes.
No more rattlesnakes.
Okay. Oh, no, I might agree with you on that one. No more rattlesnakes. So we can ask for anything. But, you know, when we ask for something, we want what God, the best from God, right? Just like King Solomon, he asked for wisdom. And that was the best thing he could ask for. He could have asked for anything in the world, but he wanted wisdom. Because you know why he wanted wisdom? Because he wanted to make right decisions about being the king. And he wanted to make good decisions about being a king. Because he was in charge. He was over all of these people. Right? So wisdom was the best thing to ask for. Did God give him that wisdom? Right? So yes. So when we ask for something, should we ask for things like being rich or things like that? Or what should we ask for?
Wisdom.
We should ask for wisdom. And it tells us in the Bible, in James 1:5, it says, but if any of you need wisdom, you should ask God. Have you ever thought about asking God for wisdom? No, never thought about that. Do you? Yeah. You do think about that? Well, good. So maybe this week and the weeks and months to come, can you ask God for wisdom? As you go out to school and to home and to wherever you're going, because you need to do the right things, right? When we have wisdom from God, we are going to choose to do the right things. Now, we don't always do the right things, right? Yeah, so we don't use our brains up here, right? But does God still love us,
yes. Even
when we make mistakes?
Yes.
And what do we have to do when we make mistakes? We have to go to God and ask for forgiveness. That's right. But it's important that we ask for wisdom because God's word tells us. And can we believe God's word is true and right? So we can believe it. If we ask for wisdom from God, is God can give us the wisdom that we need? Yes. All right. Let's say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for these boys and girls that are here today. Just bless our day and just bless our time together as we learn about you and help you. And Lord, help us to be wise in everything that we do and to do what is right and true and pleasing to you, Lord. We just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Okay, let's go. Okay, let's go. Let's go. Come on, let's go. Come on. Hey, Mr. Logan. Come on. You're going to go with me? Okay.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
Jeff, how many candy bars did you give this young one that aspires to be like you? I just wonder. We'll talk about that later. Well, good to have you worshiping with us. Good to have you once again worshiping with us online. I want to go ahead and encourage you to check into this service through our app. I sent out an email on Tuesday about a new ministry that we're starting. The name of that ministry is Threads of the Heart. And we're looking for those who have a skill set in sewing and or knitting, crocheting, or quilting that may want to come together and just seek the Lord about how our church can bless others inside our church and outside of our church through this ministry. So if you have a desire to be involved in that, if you have that one of those skill sets or you'd like to learn one of those skills, there's an organizational meeting next Sunday afternoon at 1:30 in the Fellowship Hall. And Becky Kelly is leading that. Mark and Becky have been part of our church for about 6 months, and she approached me about that. And so that's a great opportunity just to love on people in a unique way. So that's next Sunday, 1:30 in the Fellowship Hall. Easter is almost here, 3 weeks away. I just want to go over our schedule for the next several weeks. Palm Sunday is 2 weeks from today, and then we'll have our early service. And then we'll have a brunch. It starts at 9:45. I know Jeff's email said 10. That's wrong. That's a mistake. But we've been with Jeff 20 years. That's the first mistake he's ever made. So anyway, so we have a brunch starting at 9:45, egg hunt at 10, early service at 11:45. Then Easter week, we have our Last Supper, Living Last Supper presentation on the 16th, which is a Wednesday, again on Friday, the 18th, starting at 6 p.m. And then Easter Sunday, 8:30 service, we'll have a brunch again, 9:45 to 10:30. No Sunday school that day or Sunday school on Palm Sunday, and then late service at 10:45. Lots coming up. Exciting time of the year. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand and affirm our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, and the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Richard Arthur, come up, please. Richard is one of our resident Gideons, and he has some thoughts he would like to share about this awesome ministry.
Thank you, Billy. Good morning, Wiley Methodist Church. Billy said I'm Richard Arthur, probably known in these circles as Kitten's husband or Coach Arthur's dad, more so. But I am a Gideon, and us Gideons are guys and wives that love people, love God, and love to offer Christ. We hold strong to one of my favorite scripture verses, which is 2 Timothy 3:16, 17. It says, all scripture is breathed out by God, profitable teaching, correction, reproof, and in training righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for all good work. The International Gideon's Army is 250,000 members strong in 12,500 camps. We have 42 members locally, and Gideon's currently give out about 96% of the world's free Bibles at a rate of 2 Bibles per second. And in the year 2025, we are coming close to 3 billion Bibles given, and witness to many people along the way, too. Thank you. Wiley Methodist has a rich heritage of Gideon membership. Harville Ely, Gerald, and Peggy Young led the way for us. And although those three are no longer with us, they definitely made their mark as Gideons and Wiley Methodist members. Currently, Kitten, Tom Belong, Clay Yansa, and I are members of the third generation of Gideons in this church. And Jim Reinbolt was a Gideon before he came a pastor. I think he's looking at us on TV this morning. No other church in Abilene has that much Gideon representation in their congregation, but we are in serious need of new members. If anybody's interested, contact me. We'll put you to work. Our local camp, though relatively small, like Gideon's Army, is very active in Abilene. If you have a bulletin, you should have a bulletin insert describing what we've done in Taylor County. Y'all give that a look if you don't mind. Most countries the Gideons serve cannot afford their Bible needs. U.S. Gideons contribute to the International Faith Fund to cover those needs. The funds we receive from churches like Wiley go to our faith fund to provide God's word to Gideon camps in other countries. They also promote International Scripture Blitzes, which is a week-long blitz where Gideon teams witness and give Bibles. A recent blitz, in which one of our farmer members participated in Morelia, Mexico, handed out over 1,000 Bibles and witnessed to a lot of people. Over the years of doing Gideon activities, I've heard quite a few testimonies of how Gideons have affected someone's life. Once at Broadview Baptist, a lady told me how thankful she was for the Gideons. She had recently been released from prison, and while incarcerated, she had enrolled in a Gideon-led Bible study that had changed her life. She said she came from prison, a new Christian, and with the patience required to properly raise her children, one of the many attributes she went to prison without. And at Fountain Gate Fellowship, a young man on leave from his missionary duties in Africa thanked us Gideons for the Bibles he had seen provided in refugee camps in Mozambique and Tanzania. And he said in Tanzania, one of the refugee camps, there weren't enough Bibles to go around. They were tearing out pages and sharing them. Wiley Methodist is one of our most faithful supporters, allowing us to provide many Bibles locally and worldwide. I offer a big thank you to Jeff and each of you in the congregation for being one of the most supportive Gideon churches in Abilene. I also would like to give a huge thank you to Corey Wood. I know he's here somewhere. Thank you, Corey, for giving us a place for our Bible storage sheds. That's a true blessing. So thank you, Wiley Methodist, for being such a boost to our Abilene Gideon camp. In the past and also in the future, I thank you. Just a reminder that every penny that you give goes to shipping or printing Bibles. And our goal as a Gideon is not to give Bibles away, but to transform lives in the process. I'd like to close with this just a short word of prayer, if you'll join me, please. Heavenly Father, we come to you in awe of how you use generous people and faithful servants to spread your word in the world. Your word tells us that the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of God will stand forever. And you promise us that when a Bible is given, your word will not return void. We ask that you work in the hearts and men and women worldwide in furthering the gospel message of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And it is in his name that I pray today. And always, amen. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And let's thank the Lord for his work and the men and women that serve in this ministry. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I want to remind you of giving opportunities. We have offering boxes by the doors. Also, you can give electronically. Excuse me. If you would like to donate to the Gideon Ministry, you can drop a check in the offering box. Just put Gideon Ministry in the memo line. Also, if you give electronically through the app, there's actually a place you can toggle there that'll go straight to that ministry. And I want to remind you, we'll have several people available for prayer after the service. Let's continue to worship the Lord. Yeah.
And he tells me I am in.
Good morning again, church. Anybody feel the Holy Spirit this morning? Amen. Amen. Me too. If you are our guest this morning, we're especially glad that you're here. Hope you feel the love of Christ and that Holy Spirit that we just sang about and to in this place. There's a card in the seat pocket in front of you with a blue stripe that says guest registration. Would love for you to fill that out and would love to meet you. I'll be at this end of the foyer and at the end of the service and have a free gift for our guests. So hope you will come and I'd love to get to know you a little bit. So I have some great news. Are you ready for some great news?
Yeah.
It's not the good news, but it's great news. We have someone who has offered a $500,000 capital fund match for this year. Let me, is this on?
$500,000.
And so to kind of, because I know some of y'all are already calculating in your mind how that's going to work. I know you people, you're strange people. But if you look in the bulletin, it shows that we've already raised, whoops, there goes one. We've already raised $780,000, and that's true, but that all of that does not count to the match. There was about $500,000 that we had already kind of tucked away for future building needs that is part of that. So I'm guessing we're probably $150,000, $180,000 or so into the year. So the people that are giving this gift, this match, hope that it will inspire us to go to the Lord and see what the Lord would have us do about that. I know many of you are already contributing to that, and it's a wonderful thing. Appreciate you doing that. So if you would turn with me to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. This is letter is attributed to the Apostle Paul and writing to the church in Galatia, chapter 5, verse 16. He says this, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature." And we could stop right there, couldn't we? "For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit, what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious." Boy, this is quite a list. Now, as I read through this list, I know many of you are going to go, "No, I'm good there, good there, good there." But I promise you, each one of us is somewhere in this list. "The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like." If you didn't make that list, he just says, and other stuff too that I don't have time to write down. "I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." Hello. Is that got anybody's attention yet? "But," that's a really, I love that word right there. "But the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there's no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we ask you now. We've invited you, and we trust you're here. We ask you now to speak in power and authority, transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So today's message is, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We sing that song most every Sunday, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Without the Holy Spirit here, what we're doing this morning is just fellowship. I mean, that's not a bad thing. But without the Holy Spirit, it's not worship, it's just fellowship. But with the Holy Spirit, anything's possible. Anything is possible. So Paul is teaching us this, that there's fruit, there's the sinful nature, fruit of the sinful nature, and then there's fruit of the Spirit, and they're different. So I remember when I was growing up, I was born in Winters, Texas. Any Winters blizzards in the house? We had one this morning in the early service, and he was too chicken to say he was. We got one Winters blizzard right here. I think there's only three of us total, so not just in the church, but I mean total. Yeah, I was born in Winters. My grandmother, which we called Granny, lived in Winters until she passed away. And in her backyard, I think I mentioned this several years ago, she had this tree. It was, come to find out later, I didn't know what it, I just knew it was this tree that grew these weird little round things. And I've come to find out later, it was a native black walnut tree. Go ahead and, that's a black walnut tree, and that's the fruit that it produces. And we were told, don't eat those, they're no good. And they eventually, go to that next slide, Lee, that's what ends up with the black walnuts. Now my brother and I, the only thing that a black walnut tree beside is good for, except shade, is makes a great target for BB guns. And we helped quite a few black walnuts end up down on the ground like that. Man, that was fun just to shoot those black walnuts. Anyway, that's a whole nother deal. I'm digressing to my childhood, sorry. But so it was, you know, it was a tree and it provided shade and all that kind of stuff, and it produced fruit, but the fruit was no good. Anybody relating on a spiritual level yet? And then also there's around here lots of pecan trees. Go ahead and show that. I believe this is a Choctaw pecan tree. I think it's the big fat ones, right? Am I right? Some of you pecan experts? Way to go, Salvi. Yeah, that's a Choctaw pecan, and it produces fruit as well, and it produces good fruit. Anybody like pecans? So, fruit. Paul is trying to tell us here that there's, whether we realize it or not, we're in this constant battle. What kind of fruit is our life producing? You've got this constant battle between the sinful nature, the flesh, and the spirit. And he says very clearly that when the spirit inhabits us, we're no longer bound under the law, and we produce good fruit. We produce fruit of the spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You need to memorize that, because that is at the heart of what we should be producing in our life. Now, I said this in the early service. I want to say it again, that the sinful nature, once we are saved, and we'll talk more about that process and all in just a moment, but once we have Christ, it's not like the sinful nature is no longer there, but it should be. We should struggle with the flesh. We shouldn't surrender to the flesh and conduct our lives in that way. What God's Word is saying is, if you live like that, He's not saying if you struggle with some of this stuff, because the struggle will remain. But if you live like that, if that is the fruit that your life is producing, you don't belong to the kingdom of heaven. It's there. But I want to be clear that if we struggle, Paul, even in Romans chapter 7, you can read all about this, but Paul's talking about his struggle. It's like, I want to do this, and I find myself doing this. The things I want to do, I can't carry out. And he's wrestling with this flesh and the spirit. But I love the way Paul ends that. He says, "Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, Jesus Christ." So we need to understand that the struggle, there's a difference between struggle with the flesh and surrendering to the flesh. I just want to make that clear. I want to invite you. I've given you all these before. The blue handout. By the way, we had 6 handouts this morning. I know y'all are the bulletins are kind of heavy this morning. Billy and I were and my little granddaughter Sage helps me stuff these most Sundays. She stuffed a while with 6 of them, and she got tired. So we tagged in Billy, and I thought we were at the end there. I thought we were going to have to bring oxygen in for Billy because he was getting rather fatigued. But we appreciate you, your effort, Billy. Way to go, buddy. But the blue handout has some scripture. I put this together a few years ago. This is by no means all that the Holy Spirit does, but this is at the heart of the many things that the Holy Spirit does for us. And I'm not going to go over all this again. I encourage you to keep this in your Bible and look up some of these passages and read for yourself what it has to say about the Holy Spirit. So first of all, we're just going to kind of summarize some of that sheet with 3 main points. The first one is the Holy Spirit lives in you. Did you know, saw my comic this week, the Jesus with the free, each person gets a free cup of coffee, and Jesus said, "I'll take 3, if you didn't see it. It tied in with my Trinity passage last week. Anyway, the Holy Spirit lives in you. He's not just kind of here with us, but those of us in Christ, if you've accepted Christ, invited Him to be your Lord and Savior, invited Him in, He lives, God Himself lives inside of you through His Spirit. Do you not know, in 1 Corinthians 3, do you not know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? So I've explained this before. I know most of y'all understand this, but the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament, the Ark of the Covenant was the presence of God was in this Ark of the Covenant, and God commanded them to create a tabernacle that they was basically a tent. And they moved the Ark of the Covenant around with them, and God resided in this. And there was a curtain, and there was a Holy of Holies in the tent, and where the Ark of the Covenant was. And the high priest, through the sacrificial blood of a sacrificial animal, once a year would pass through the curtain, enter into the Holy of Holies, and ask for forgiveness for the nation on behalf of the nation. This high priest would ask for forgiveness. Then New Testament, and since those early years, then the temple was built, a physical temple in Jerusalem, and there was a curtain that separated the Holy of Holies where the Ark of the Covenant was, and still the high priest once a year he would through blood sacrifice he would enter past the curtain into the Holy of Holies, and he would ask for forgiveness for the nation of Israel. Well, when Jesus went to the cross and he died for our sins, Scripture tells us, this is so interesting to me, that the curtain was torn. Well, why was that? God was saying, Now, through the sacrificial blood of Jesus, the new high priest, that you, we, as believers, we have access, direct access to God, direct access to the heavenly, our Heavenly Father. And if you read Hebrews, which, by the way, I put out a plug this morning, our men's group on Tuesday mornings just started Hebrews last week. Who knew that God even had a coffee shop? I mean, it's just, it's amazing. Is this on? Larry, is this on? It just wasn't funny, right? Okay, it was funny. I throw in humor every once in a while just to wake people up, but anyway. What? So, Hebrews, read Hebrews if you want to learn about Jesus being our great high priest. And so what's really cool is we don't need a priest to go before the our Heavenly Father for us, because Jesus is our high priest. We have direct access. The curtain is torn. We have direct access to God. This just came to me this week. I've tried to describe different things about how when we receive the Holy Spirit and what baptism and all that is about. And this just came to me this week. I don't know if it helps anybody or not. It was kind of a revelation for me. From time to time, I order books. I order the book. I purchase the book and I receive the book, and it's now my book. And yet, laying on my desk, it could be anybody's book, but this is now my book, and I have this stamp, and it says, "From the Library of Jeff Hatcher." That's what the stamp says. My beautiful wife gave me that several years ago. And when I purchase the book, it's mine, and then I stamp the book. That's now my mark on this book. This is Jeff Hatcher's book. Through baptism, through the Holy Spirit, that's what Jesus has done for us. I don't know if that helped anybody. I was like, hey, that's pretty cool. I'm going with it. It was a God thing, Billy. I'm pretty sure. Jesus, in John chapter 14, Jesus says, "The world cannot accept the Spirit of truth because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you." We need to understand, before we understand anything else about this Holy Spirit, we need to understand that He lives in us. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, He lives in us. So whatever that benefit comes from that, we need to understand He lives in us. Secondly, not only does the Holy Spirit live in us, but the Holy Spirit empowers us to live victoriously. I don't know if anybody's noticed, but this world can be hard. I mean, you know, we got health things, relationship things, money things. We got things that just makes it hard. I'll tell you what we need. We need power to navigate that, don't we? Anybody need that? Well, let's see what Jesus has to say about that. Luke 24, "I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." And I just want you to just picture Jesus standing behind you, and He has His Holy Spirit, He has His righteousness, His power, this robe, and He just places it over your shoulder, and you're just engulfed in it. Stay until you've been clothed with power from on high. And then in Acts chapter 1, He says to the disciple, "You will receive power when? When the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You'll receive power." So He's saying that and we talked about this, I think, a couple of weeks ago, that Jesus is, I mean, He was flesh and blood. He was God made flesh, and He was bound by space and time. He was a person. He got tired. He needed to needed to sleep. He needed to eat. He was a person, but He was God in the flesh. And he's saying that, "But I'm going to send the Holy Spirit," which is also God, God in three persons, Blessed Trinity. Remember last week? "I'm sending the Spirit to live with you and to be in you. So you care, we don't need to walk around with the tabernacle or the Ark of the Covenant anymore, because Jesus lives inside of us through His Spirit. And so He empowers us to live victoriously. So when we have the nagging of the flesh, we have the power of the Spirit to resist those things. When that list that we went through, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, drunkenness, orgies, and the like, and all of that, sexual immorality, all of it, we have, those things are still there. The enemy still wants to attack us in the flesh, but we have the ability, because God lives inside of us in the power of the Spirit, we have the ability to resist those things and live by the Spirit. So, it's a matter of, we talked about this, I think, last week maybe, that pressing in. I mean, man, I'm telling you, if we walk in that life, if we stick our toe in that world, the flesh, it'll draw us right in. But when we press into the Spirit, He gives us the power to navigate and resist those things, to overcome those things. Galatians 5:16 that we read, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. When we're pressing into the Spirit, we have the power to resist the flesh. Shake your head if you're with me, if you're hanging in there. All right, and then finally, the Holy Spirit brings glory to God and beautifies His bride. We talked about this some last Wednesday night in our community group. First of all, when I talk about the bride, Scripture is very clear. It talks about that the church, us, we are the church. The church, we are the bride of Christ. Christ is our bridegroom. And when we live by the Spirit, I'll just read some passages here. John 16:14. The Holy Spirit, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit will bring glory to me. When we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, we conduct ourselves in that manner, that's going to bring glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when we love on His behalf. And then in Revelation, it's all woven all through there, but Revelation 19 says, let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come and His bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. And then it makes a note there in the Scripture. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. So the way I'm reading that is, we are the bride of Christ. He's our bridegroom. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. When we live by the Spirit, when we produce that fruit of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, patience, and so on, when we produce that kind of fruit, it brings glory to God and it makes us beautiful to the King of Kings. I mentioned this to our group Wednesday night. We have to be careful. I think the church can get this wrong sometimes. We have to be careful. Our righteous acts don't earn our salvation. Our righteous acts glorify God and proves that He's our Lord and Savior, and it beautifies the bride. It prepares us to be received by the bridegroom, Jesus. Revelation 21, I saw the holy city. John, he has this revelation. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. Some of y'all who've been married and maybe had people helping you beautify yourself, preparing yourself, or maybe you've done that for a daughter or a granddaughter. I don't even want to know what goes on in that room with women. But I know there's a lot of beauty things going on. Getting the hair just right and getting the makeup just right and the dress just right. All of it, they're beautifying themselves for their bridegroom. That's what, when we love on the behalf of Christ in the power of the Spirit, when we produce the fruit of the Spirit, we are becoming beautiful as the bride of Christ. And that's good stuff, church. So I guess the final thing is, so if I want that and I don't think I have that, how do I receive that? How do I receive the Holy Spirit? Well, Scripture is pretty clear. Jesus said it this way, Luke chapter 11. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So the simple answer is we ask. We confess that we need God in our lives, that we're not God, he is, we need him, and we ask him to come and inhabit us. We invite him in. So if that's you maybe this morning, you're like, man, I want some of that. I ask everybody if you just bow your heads. If that's you this morning, or maybe you just want to reaffirm it, repeat this prayer that I'm going to give you. You can pray this with me if you'd like. Father, I need you. I need your Holy Spirit. I confess that I'm a sinner in need of your mercy. Forgive me from all unrighteousness that's in me. I claim Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Wash me as white as snow. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Prepare me as your beautiful bride. I bring glory to you. In the strong, powerful name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. So as we have this last song of worship, the altar is always open. If you prayed that prayer, if you want to have prayer at all, there'd be people up front to pray with you. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, want to visit with me, I hope that you will visit with me before you leave today. If you'll rise if you're able as we close.
So this might be a new song to some of y'all, but with that, I think it falls hand in hand with what Jeff was just talking about. And I love how that orchestrates itself, because a lot of times these songs just fall into place. So sing along as you pick it up.
King of all kings came to serve.
received the Holy Spirit, we received power. Church, that's good news. It's good news to be shared. Go and produce God's fruit, the fruit of His Spirit. Go and tell someone. We're dismissed. God bless you. This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. And wash me as white as snow, in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus Himself set the example for us by being baptized Himself, and He encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.